It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome to the Untold Story Podcast. I'm Martha McCallum. Thanks for joining us today. And boy, has it been quite a day in the Trump court case downtown in Manhattan and the appearance. And we never know who's going to be on the stand each day. But we got word this morning that Stormy Daniels, who is at the center of this case, if not legally, certainly figuratively in terms of how this all played out. So I'm really glad to have Alina Haba with me. She has been in court all day today, all day yesterday. She, of course, is an attorney for President Trump, not on this case, but on several of the other cases, and also serves as a legal spokesperson for him. So hi, Alina. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, let's just start with your sense of, obviously, there were a lot of salacious details in there. And one of the things that I found the most interesting was that after this witness was announced today, there was a lot of back and forth and a lot of push from the defense team, the Trump defense team, to say that there should be limits on what she was allowed to talk about based on what this case is really about. Tell me your thoughts on that. And obviously, that, you know, they didn't get what they wanted there. And then we saw what we saw.
Right. I think it was an important argument to be made, which was that we needed to have guardrails. You know, having her as a witness is kind of irrelevant, other than if they want to bring her in for the books and records portion of this case. And I think that's important to remember, that this is not a defamation case. This is not a salacious trial. This is the best that DA Bragg could get. And that was a books and record keeping violation that he stacked misdemeanors on to get a felony count. So, you know, this is absolutely absurd. So the argument really was important, and that was that there needs to be guardrails as to the testimony. There needs to be nothing salacious, because it's irrelevant and frankly false. And, you know, that was what we had asked. The judge had actually agreed to some extent, but then we saw that the prosecution just kept blowing past the guardrails, completely disregarded them. There was tremendous amount of objections. It was definitely a tense day in court today.
So let me ask you a couple of questions about things that you just raised. One is, you know, what about those who look at it and say, well, she's not peripheral, she's central, because what they were trying to establish here, the prosecution, is that this relationship was something that the former President Trump didn't want to come out, especially post Access Hollywood tape, and that there were a lot of efforts to make sure that it wouldn't come out, that she wouldn't speak. And then that led to this payment. So the circumstances around what happened with the two of them, which he denies, is actually central to the motivation for not wanting it to get out and thus for making a payment.
I think that that's in itself unnecessary when you have clear proof that there was a legal payment made. There's no dispute of that. That's not what's central in this case. It's not whether the payment was made. Their whole case is based on the fact that they want to act like the payment was made with something to do with the election, because that's how Bragg will get a felony charge. So it's really not, you know, it'd be one thing if everybody was saying we didn't do that. That's not the case. It's that this was made by Michael Cohen. There was proof brought by the prosecution that Michael Cohen orchestrated this whole ordeal for a payment, and that it was booked in Trump Tower while he was in Washington in the White House as a legal expense. He was his private attorney. Every email says that the payments were made and orchestrated by his attorney. And that's the issue, is how it was booked. It's really not why, that's not the issue. So again, I think it's a distraction. And I really do believe, Martha, after watching today, that the reason they wanted the salacious content the prosecution is it takes me back to when President Trump was running the first time. And you have all these people coming out of the woodworks and trying to disrupt the female vote, trying to effectively be an aggravator to the campaign and to what's going on now currently. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I was disappointed on how the prosecution just wasn't respecting those guardrails today, to be honest.
Yeah. And I want to ask you more about the guardrails and the instructions to the jury to come. But I want to just go back to a couple of quick things that you mentioned. You know, I guess one of the questions that occurs to me is if, you know, that it's not legal to have a non-disclosure agreement with someone, these sort of payments happen. So what kind of logging of this expense would they have seen as appropriate?
No, that's a great question. I don't know. You know, if I'm paid by the Trump Organization, I suspect and expect that that payment gets logged as a legal expense. If I'm paid by the Trump Organization to settle a lawsuit that I settle, I expect that that's a legal expense. I'm an attorney for the Trump Organization. I'm an attorney for President Trump. Why wouldn't it be logged as that? Should it be logged as electrical, as President Trump mentioned? Should it be logged as something else? Because then, you know what? They'd put him in cuffs again. You know, they can't, you cannot make up the extreme desperation that I'm seeing here and that we've seen over the past, especially last 6 months with all of these Biden administration orchestrated trials. There's no question there's coordination. I've spoke about it ad nauseum, but you know, this is what they're trying to do. It's just ridiculous. I mean, Martha, if you pay your lawyer, do you tell your accountant that you paid your lawyer, or do you tell your accountant the privileged information underlying? I mean, it's ridiculous. It makes no sense whatsoever.
So it's pretty clear that this witness and the decision to ask her all these questions, and most of it, to my mind, I mean, I guess if people haven't followed this story closely, some of this may have sounded new, but most of it was not new. Most of it she has said in many interviews over the years, He has denied it. But, you know, I heard one legal analyst today say that, you know, that this information may, because it's so specific, about the room and the room they were in and the hotel and all of this, and what he was wearing and all of that, that some of the jurors may take that as, well, he says it never happened, but she's being very specific about details. So does that make it more challenging for them to believe that it never happened?
No, because the second half of the day when we did our cross-examination, it completely discredited and showed the inconsistencies. You know, I don't want to speak specifically to witness testimony, but I can say that if you look at the reports on the cross-examination, you will see that there is a pattern of inconsistent stories, and it's not from President Trump. His story is the truth, which is that it has always been that this never happened. This person effectively, as many people do, you know, you get in situations where people extort you or try and get money. Otherwise, they'll come out with a story because you're high profile. That's a very common theme in this country, unfortunately. And if you add politics to it, it becomes even more high profile and the price becomes bigger. Sometimes the nuisance is not worth it. You know, it's no different than anybody else, you know, settling something before it becomes a case because you just don't want to pay attorneys and deal with the nonsense. And I think that there is some people are kind of seeing that after the cross-examination started today. I think it was incredibly effective. And I'm looking forward to the cross-examination continuing on Thursday. We still have a lot more to get to with her. And I think that's what we'll see then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very interesting part of this story and question that's raised by this trial. And I think we heard some of that from Keith Davidson, who was her attorney. And we heard on the cross of him, the defense questioning of him, that he had a history of what the defense was claiming is extorting, especially celebrities, you know, confronting them with similar sorts of stories from claimants, and then extorting them to get these people to go away. How effective do you think that was? And, you know, will we hear more about whether or not Stormy Daniels is the type of person who just would say, gee, I have a couple pictures with this man and he's running for president and I'm an adult film star and I think this could add up for me.
Look, when somebody shops a story, and I'll speak generally, when any human being is out in the world shopping a story, I don't think that their motivation is questioned at that point. I can assure you that is not something that I would do ever in my life. And I'm pretty sure it's not something you would ever do, Martha. We just don't, you know? So you're the idea that there's any accountability or credibility when you have people doing this kind of behavior, it's not, I hope it's not lost on the American people. This is, let's just think about who they're relying on here, right? I mean, this is a first criminal case against a former president and future president, and your key witnesses speak for themselves. I mean, that's all I'll say on that. And I think that anybody that thinks that if a president is going to go after his opponent, and I mean President Biden, you would think that they would maybe have a little bit higher credible witnesses. You think that they would vet their cases a little bit better instead of having to go in and say, oh, President Trump, who was in the White House and signed a check, is accountable for a felony charge and should go to jail because of something an accountant did at Trump Tower by paying an attorney and then booking it as a legal fee. That is all this case is about. You know, it really is maddening that we even have to get into what happened today, to be honest, because it's irrelevant. It really is. This is a books and record keeping violation. I just want to make sure everyone understands, like, that is it, period, the end. And this is the best they have.
The Untold Story continues right after this.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
One of the things I thought was interesting today with Judge Marchand was that, you know, early in the day, oh, yeah, we're going to have some guardrails for this. And then, you know, that she was asked to speak more slowly. Then he asked her to basically stick to the focus of what they were discussing and not sort of, you know, bring in all of these extraneous details that weren't really necessary. Did it feel to you like he kind of lost control of what was going on in there? And now we're hearing that on Thursday, he's going to talk about how the jury will be instructed around all of this testimony?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there was definitely, he actually said today himself, you know, she is difficult to control. And she was, you know, there was an instruction made and the attorneys had to go speak to her before she came back after break. And she was not staying within the guardrails, but quite honestly, the prosecutors were not either. And the questions were leading, meaning that they were leading her down to give the answers. It was clearly to me a rehearsed, and we heard testimony. It was rehearsed. It was practiced. They met with her numerous times, you know, and it's a very transparent show at this point. And anybody that was there could see it. It was incredibly clear what was happening. And it was incredibly clear that she had been coached.
Isn't that typical, though, for a witness in that situation?
No, not on a books and records matter. You know, this is somebody, again, who profits. You have to be aware of who your witnesses are. I'll be honest with you, Martha, if I had witnesses like the prosecution has, I wouldn't call them. You know, there's a decision strategically for attorneys. When you have any witness, you look at their credibility. You look at what they do when they're on the stand and how you coach them. And some are, frankly, there is no coaching. You're supposed to, you know, go through their story, understand it so that you can make an outline of what their story is and make sure you get relevant facts out. That is not what happened today. We were seeing leading question after leading question. We were seeing questions that were completely inadmissible that were, in my opinion, warranting of a mistrial. And we did ask for that, obviously. And that was a critical point of today as well.
Yes. So with regard to that, the argument was that the testimony that we heard today was more prejudicial against the defendant, President Trump, and not probative. So the line of questioning was to prejudice against him, the jury, rather than, you know, get the facts out and probe to help elucidate the story around all of this for the jury. I would imagine that the list is growing of things that will be on the appeal list, and that would be right. Top among them, wouldn't it?
100%. Yeah. it will be. It definitely is ripe for appeal. And, you know, as in all of these cases, we log and go through everything. We get transcripts every night, look at it, and start making our grounds if we are not successful. But I can tell you after today, if the jury's listening and this is the best they have, I'm not sure how you could possibly not see it unless you're bought into this distraction, which is what today was. Today was solely to try and embarrass the former president. And I think it kind of blew up in their face, to be honest, because on cross-examination, it was clear that that just wasn't the story, couldn't stay straight.
You know, we've seen a number of, you know, sort of accounting witnesses over the past couple of days, and Hope Hicks testified last Friday. Has anyone been able to draw a line from an intent and knowledge by President Trump to influence, to make this payment in order to keep the story quiet and, you know, for the reason of making sure that the election wouldn't be impeded by this story, which is really that's what Bragg is asserting.
Right. Yeah, no, not at all. Not one bit. Not one bit of evidence to that. In fact, what he's saying is what, if you'll recall, is what Michael Cohen admitted to, not President Trump. That's what Michael Cohen admitted to, campaign finance violations. And that is the basis. That's all they have. And they're trying to use that. And I don't know how they're going to link him, because it's unlinkable, because it's not what happened. But quite honestly, look, we're here to fight. We'll keep fighting and we'll take each day as it comes. But no, at this point, they have not proven their case. And when you see CNN and certain members of the left-wing media have been reporting today that they have not proven that portion of the case. And what they have to prove is intent to affect a campaign and to affect an election. And the only person that I see, frankly, Martha, that's trying to do that right now is President Biden and the DAs and the AGs that have been visiting the South Lawn to speak to him. That is about the only people that I see interfering in an election.
So with regard to what Judge Marchand said today, that he would on Thursday, they're off on Wednesdays, that on Thursday he would make some statements around jury instructions with regard to the testimony that was blurted out today. I mean, that's a genie that you can't really put back in the bottle by telling a jury, and I've sat on juries, that, you know, just ignore the things that you heard today except for X, Y, and Z.
That's right. I believe that's such an antiquated, unrealistic ask. And I'm with you on that. I can't imagine just because a judge instructs you to strike or gives you a limiting instruction in your after closings, I couldn't imagine any world where that doesn't affect a human being. We can't unring the bell, right? We hear things, you hear it. It's been heard. You're not going to disregard it. So, you know, I'm not really sure how that would ever help. And I don't think, frankly, it will.
Yeah. How real do you think the threat of jail is for President Trump if he violates the gag order again? And do you think that he will try not to avoid that?
I know he will. Absolutely. He's trying not to. I don't think it makes it constitutional or fair. What we know about President Trump is his voice is very important, and his voice in an election is even more important, frankly, especially when our country's falling apart. So this gag order, which is so completely unconstitutional, I find it insane, number one. Number two, do I think Judge Marchand, to answer your question, would put him in jail? I think so. I have seen things that I never thought I would see in this country, Martha. I'll be honest with you. I think they're petrified. I think they cannot and will not be able to beat President Trump without election interference. And if you look at everything, that's what it says. If you look at the polls, that's what they say. You're not winning. And by the way, President Trump's campaigning with this, and he's still beating him in the polls. So imagine if he was full throttle campaigning right now, Martha, he'd be crushing him. And he is crushing him, frankly, but that's what they're afraid of. That's why we're in this mess. So I don't put it past him to put him in jail at all.
So last question, just on the pacing of all of this. It's clear that Mershon is wanting to move this thing very quickly. I think that became clear during the jury selection period. This could wrap up, we're hearing, in 2 weeks. Does that seem like a timeline that seems realistic to you?
The prosecutors gave us a 2-week timeline just for their case, which means after that, we have our case to put on and in defense and rebut everything and bring our witnesses. At this moment, I think the prosecutors are enjoying keeping President Trump tied up in court and will milk this as long as humanly possible so that they can affect the election and keep him off the campaign trail.
Can you give us any sense of what you think? I know you're not arguing this case, but you're on the team. How long the defense case will be?
No, not at this point. I mean, every day that goes on, we see more evidence that we, you know, have rebuttal evidence for. Like any trial, you build your case as a defense attorney while you're watching the trial and the plaintiff's case. Of course, you have things prepared and you have a skeleton, but you tweak it. You know, and everything gets tweaked. The attorney general trial ended up taking, you know, a few weeks shorter than we had expected. It's really an estimate at best. But I can tell you, after hearing what they said yesterday on the record, that they might have another 2 weeks. It's just crazy. This is about a check in how it was logged. So this is clearly them trying to slow roll this so that he isn't out there campaigning.
Alina, thank you so much. It's always great to have you with us, and we appreciate you sharing your thoughts on all of this. We're going to be covering it every day, and the election as well. So we'll see where this goes. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. You're the best. Thanks.
Great to have Alina Haba with us, attorney and legal spokesperson for former President Trump. I'm Martha McCallum. Thanks for joining the Untold Story. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Untold Story with Martha McCallum. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Make sure to rate and review. For more podcasts, go to foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with the Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.